This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. At one point or another in your life, you have heard the phrase, patience is a virtue. And more likely than not, someone said that to you while you were being impatient. You see, as much as patience is a virtue, patience is something that we all struggle with, no matter how young or old we are, no matter how rich or poor we are. We struggle with patience for one reason. We hate waiting. You see, waiting is the thing that we do before we do the thing that we really want to do. And so because we are so busy, because we want to get to the things that we really want, we try to avoid waiting as much as possible. If we go to the grocery store and are ready to check out, we will intentionally look for the shortest line so we have to wait the least amount of time. If you're like me, when you're looking at a route on which way to drive, you will pick the way that has the least amount of traffic. Even if that way takes a little bit longer, the fact that there is no traffic to wait in makes you feel like you're going in faster. When you go to a restaurant with family or friends that seems busy, the first thing that you do when you go to the host stand is ask, what is the wait time like? And then if the wait time is too long, you might go to a different restaurant entirely. And then when you sit down at your table, the experience can be ruined if you have to wait too long for your food or wait too long for the waiter to come back to you. Yes, waiting is something that we all would like to avoid as much as possible. And it seems like that each generation gets worse and worse at their ability to wait because of technology. When I was a kid, and there was a show that I really wanted to watch on TV, I had to wait until that show came on air. And if I missed it, then I maybe missed it for the rest of my life, or at the very least had to wait until the show came on in reruns. I marvel at my kids now who had no idea what it was like when I was a kid, that literally at their fingertips, they can watch thousands of shows and movies at an instant. Yes, because of technology, we seem to have lost our ability to wait. Go to any waiting room, for example, and as people are waiting, you will notice that the first thing that they do is not sit there and wait patiently, but the first thing they do is begin to pull out their phone and scroll through it just to distract themselves in the meantime. But you see, there's another reason that we don't like to wait. There's another reason why we often distract ourselves with our phones or music or the radio when we have to wait. And the reason is this, is because waiting often makes us think. It makes us think about the future. And when we think about the future, we don't often think positively about it. When we think about the future, we often are filled with worry or concern about what might happen next. Yes, for a whole bunch of reasons, waiting is something that we would like to avoid altogether. But the Bible talks about waiting differently. In fact, the Bible says that it is faithful to wait. The Bible actually says that it is productive to wait, that we can grow in faith. Listen to the scripture reading from the book of Isaiah. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." You see, the Isaiah reading tells us today that if we want more strength, we must learn to wait. If we would like to not be weary, we must learn to wait. You see, all of us would like more strength. All of us would like to be less weary, but so often the way that we try to address these problems of not having enough strength, of being tired, is by trying to do more and be more. But the Bible says that the way that we are to address this, the way that we are to grow in faith, grow in strength, grow in energy, is by waiting. But we have to recognize and understand that our scripture reading has a very different definition of waiting.
You see, for us, waiting is like a passive thing. If you're waiting in the airport for your flight, you just kind of sit there and wait. If you're waiting in a doctor's office, you're not really doing anything. You're just more passive. You're waiting. But the scripture today reveals to us that God wants us to be active in our waiting. Listen to what the scripture reading says today. Verse 35 and 36. Jesus says to us, "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks." Jesus, of course, is talking about the day when he will return to earth, when he will make a new heaven and a new earth, that we believe in the second coming of Christ, when he will come to make all things new. And Jesus says in this scripture reading that we are to wait, but to be dressed for action and have our lamps lit. You see, Jesus calls us not to wait passively, but Jesus calls us to be active in our waiting. That if we want to be ready for the day that Jesus returns, that if we want to grow in strength and faith, we must learn to be active waiters. We must wait actively for God's kingdom to come to earth. And by being active waiters, we grow in peace and strength and purpose. So the question then becomes, what does it mean and what does it look like to be active waiters? Well, the truth of the matter, it's about this. It's about living with one eye on eternity. It's about living with one eye on eternity. You see, we all know that someday we are going to go to heaven. That because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because of what he has done for us, that our promise for eternal life is certain and secure. But how often does that idea of us going to heaven really affect the way that we live our lives? How does it often affect the way that we act and think and behave? If we're being honest with ourselves, what dictates our daily behavior is not heaven and the realization and the reality that someday we are going there. What actually dictates our behavior is our present concerns. The present concerns and issues and problems that are in front of us right now. Now, hear me when I say God does not want us to be absent-minded. God doesn't want us to be apathetic to the concerns in our life and to the concerns of our world. He wants us to keep one eye on that. But he also wants us to keep one eye on eternity. Because understanding the ultimate destination helps us understand how we are living today. I'll say that again because it's important. Helping us understand the ultimate destination affects how we live today. If any of you who have ever gone on a road trip before, what you do before you go on that road trip is you figure out what your ultimate destination is. Back in the old days, you maybe have maps, but today we have GPSs. And we punch that GPS, that destination, that location that we're ultimately going, whether it's a few hours from now or a few days from now, into our phones. And that is very important because that gives us the ultimate destination of where we are going. And then when we set off to drive there, we are aware of all the things happening to us. We are aware of all the other cars on the road. We're aware of the traffic or if there's any accidents or what the speed limits are. And we live and drive based on those things as well. But none of you have ever gotten into your car and just started driving. Just started driving on a road trip with no ultimate destination in mind. Just started taking a left and taking a right, of going straight, of getting on an expressway and off an expressway. Why? To do that would be chaotic. To do that would be purposeless. You would just be kind of going around and around in circles, living with no actual overall purpose. You see, as silly as that sounds, that's how many of us live our lives. That's how many of us think in the world. When we don't have the ultimate destination of heaven in mind, when we live our lives, we are like a person driving around aimlessly. We are like that hamster trapped in a wheel, full of movement and activity, but lacking overall purpose. And the danger of doing that is if we continue to do that long enough, we'll find ourselves exhausted and drained. We'll find ourselves filled with despair because all we will see around us is problems and more problems, issues and concerns, and we'll lose hope. We'll lose hope because we'll be so consumed with the things around us that we've lost sight of our ultimate goal, that we've lost sight of our ultimate destination. And so the truth of the matter is we have to live with one eye on eternity. Like a person who sets out for a road trip, we must keep one eye on today, but also one eye on forever. And so the question then becomes, how do we begin to do that? How do we make sure we're keeping one eye on eternity in our daily lives? Well, there's a couple of things that I'm going to give you today that I think will help you do this day in and day out. And the first is this: to make choices that you will be proud of in heaven. To make choices that you will be proud of in heaven. You see, as Christians, we have to remember that we are living in two different value systems. We are living in the values of this world, and we are living under the values of God. And this world, according to the Bible, is temporary, right? And the world of heaven, the kingdom of God, is eternal. It's forever. It's permanent. It is here today, but it will be here forever. And so we have to think about making choices that not only affect our lives in this world, but also affect our lives in heaven. Notice what Jesus says at one point in the scripture reading. He says, to sell your possessions and give to the poor. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, for a worldly perspective, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? Because if this world is all there is, then we want to gain more and more things for ourselves. But if our ultimate goal and destination is heaven, we might make decisions that are not necessarily wise according to the world, but are wise according to heaven. And if heaven is our ultimate destination, if that's our forever place, then we need to at least live some of our lives making choices that reflect the values of heaven. Let me put it another way. Make choices that you will be proud of in heaven. You see, when you get up to heaven, God will not be proud of how much money you made. God will not be proud of how much stuff you had, but God will be proud of how generous you were, of how kind you were, of how loving you were. In fact, at one point in the Gospels, Jesus says, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. Meaning, when we get to heaven, God will thank us for doing certain things. God will thank us for taking certain actions, and they might not be things that we are thanked or recognized for doing here on earth. But do them anyway, because ultimately, eternity is our final destination. The second and final thing that can help us live with one eye on eternity is to not let the perfect become the enemy of the good. Not let the perfect become the enemy of the good. You see, when people live for this world, they want everything to be perfect. They want the perfect house, right? You may have heard people say they want the perfect Christmas. They want the perfect car. But the truth of the matter is, perfect does not exist in this world and in this life. Perfect exists in the next life. And if we spend our lives looking for perfect, we will always be disappointed. You see, the truth of the matter is that perfect house, it always comes with problems and things that needed to be fixed. That perfect Christmas, it comes with a burnt turkey or a difficult family member. Perfect does not exist, but good exists. You see, I think sometimes people spend their lives looking for the perfect moment, the perfect opportunity, the perfect vacation, whatever it is, that they miss the good around them. And if you live with one eye on eternity, if you believe perfect exists in heaven, then you can accept the good with all its flaws. You see, sometimes I've heard people say things like, I want to build my dream house. I want to build my perfect house, my dream house. And then I hear that and I think to myself, how silly. Because you see, our dream house has already been built for us. Our dream house is in heaven. Jesus says in the Gospels, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. And a rooms I have prepared for you and your family and your friends. You see, we spend so much time trying to build the perfect here on earth, we completely forget that God has already built a perfect heaven for us. And so accept that things will not always be perfect in this life, but sometimes they'll be good. And good is good enough because perfect is in heaven. And so in closing, I want to share with you and encourage you again that you are called to live with not only focus on today, not only focus on what's going around you and in the world, but also focus on heaven. Spend some time thinking about heaven, praying about heaven, celebrating about heaven. Live with one eye on eternity. Be hopeful that even if things are not be perfect today, that ultimately one day they will be perfect forever. Let us pray. Holy and living God, we give you thanks for this reminder of what it means to be faithful people. As faithful people, you call us to actively wait, not for the world that is, but for the kingdom that is to come. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.